I wanted to review very quickly what we're doing here in Sunday School. We have a little bit of time left together today, and we're talking about 10 things that God has promised to reward. And last time we looked at three things, and we're going to review the third, but we looked at the word reward, which is misthos, and misthos means dues paid for work. But it also is translated in many places in the New Testament, the rewards which God bestows or will bestow upon good deeds or endeavors. Context determines the meaning. And so it's very important that as you read your Bible, that you look at the context so you don't take things out of context when you're understanding them. We're going to be looking at mostly those places where God will reward those who follow through with the things that he has mentioned. And I said this list is not exhaustive, but it hits 10 of the major areas that the Bible, especially in the New Testament, covers regarding things that God will reward for. We looked at last time prayer and fasting. Matthew 6 talks about, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall" what? Reward, misthos, all right? Thee openly. God has promised that he would reward you openly. And then he goes into the area of fasting. It says, when thou anointest thy head and when thou wash your face and you don't appear as if you are fasting before others. You do it in secret and God will reward thee how? Openly. So we looked at that last time. We looked at the second thing, compassion for the vulnerable. We looked at Matthew 25 and that lengthy passage there that indicates that you and I are to be assisting others, using it as a ministry of the gospel to reach out to others. And we looked at the passage there when the disciples asked the Lord, "When did we clothe you? When were you naked and we clothed you? When did we feed you?" And the Lord says, if you do it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me, Jesus says. And of course, he said, I will reward thee with life eternal. That is, not that if you do good things, you'll be saved, but rather that your ministry of reaching out to those that are vulnerable. We've got a whole school full. We've got a YAC program full of vulnerable people. Because they're just one heartbeat away from hell. Don't ever forget the fact that in your neighborhood, there are people that are just one heartbeat away from hell. And you have a responsibility to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. Bake a pie, if you know how to bake a pie. If you don't know how to bake a pie, go buy one from one of the bakeries or whatever. Take it over to them. Introduce yourself. I'm your neighbor. And I just want to introduce myself and let you know that I enjoy being your neighbor. And I'm a Christian. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my... And share your testimony with them. Does your neighbor know you're a Christian? Does your neighbor even know you? Well, you know, COVID has messed everything up. Well, what about before COVID? Did they know that you were a Christian? All right. Sometimes we cloister. We get in our little box, and that's where we live. We live in our box, all right? And that's all we look at, us four and no more. God has called us to be ministers of reconciliation, reconciling the world unto Jesus Christ. And it starts with those that are in your neighborhood. It starts with family members. It starts with people that you know from your childhood. That may not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You have a connection, but you're not using it. All right? We have a ministry of compassion for the vulnerable. And then we got into the third one last time, which we have not finished up, and that is bearing insults and being excluded. All right? Get that? Bearing insults and being excluded. That means not being included. Being excluded. For the name of Jesus Christ. We looked at Luke chapter 6. This is a powerful passage. It's a parallel passage, but it's powerful because of some of the words that are used here that are not used in the Matthew reference. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Matthew passage, revile you. All right? Hate you. And when they shall separate you from their company, that means exclude you. You're not included. And shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil. That's an interesting expression. Does that sound like cancel culture to you? It absolutely is. Bunch of fanatics. Bunch of crazy people. They don't accept the narrative. So you're hated and your name is worthless. Let me tell you something, Christian. Be prepared for the onslaught that's coming. Are you prepared? Are you ready to face it? It's already here. But it's going to get worse. And Jesus warned us, as a be able to bear the insults that come. Be able to bear up to being excluded, to have your name counted as evil. For the Son of Man's sake, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. What did you say, Lord? What? Rejoice and leap for joy? Yeah, Christian. That's what the Bible says. We're not to walk around with our knuckles dragging on the ground. We're despised and rejected of men. My name is nothing. I've been canceled. No! Rejoice! Leap for joy! We're not talking about fake leaping and fake joy. We're talking about real joy that comes because you know the Lord. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. In other words, people have gone through this before, Christian. Don't get this, you know, I don't understand why God's doing this to us. It's happened before because of sin and the curse of sin. One of the teachers came to me this week and said, one of the students that had come in and pulled him aside and said, I don't understand. We've had so much trouble this summer. Our families had terrible sickness and so forth. How could God let that happen? First question of the school year. How could God let that happen? And they came to me and said, listen, bad things happen because of the curse of sin. Why is it that people immediately go to blame God instead of blame sin and blame curse and blame Satan? We dress up Satan like he's wonderful and dress down God like he's bad. But understand this. Know this. The person that blames God is letting out a little secret. Okay? These people say they're atheists and the first thing they do is blame God. They're not really atheists, are they? They believe God exists. If they're going to blame Him, they believe He exists. So they're letting the cat out of the bag that they're not really who they say they are. But they're unwilling to blame Satan and to blame sin and the curse. Oh, that's not really the cause. It's God. That's all these bad things. It's the curse of sin, folks. We need to understand that. And we're going to face, think about this. What is our first reaction to persecution? What's our first reaction? It's been on a personal level the last 6 months since I got connected with Myanmar. He messages me every day. We go back and forth. He sends me pictures of those that were shot by the military. The persecution is real there. It's real there. They kill people to intimidate. People are living in mountain caves and they've left their homes and living out in the jungle because of persecution. And many of them are believers in Christ that are facing that. What's our first reaction to that? Well, think about this for just a moment. Anything that is faced by a Christian was faced by our Lord first. What is the cross a symbol of? Suffering. Isn't it interesting that Paul said it's the preaching of the cross that to them that perish are foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the what? The power of God. The symbol of the cross is a symbol of suffering. So don't be surprised when suffering comes. when people are persecuted. It's not God letting down, it's sin ramping up. God doesn't ever let down, but oftentimes His will involves our suffering that we might learn to depend upon Him more. If I never go through suffering, why would I depend on God? Why would I depend on God? Why would I call out to God if I never suffered? Can you imagine if God just said, no more bad things happen? No more bad things ever happen, I decree it. And He could, couldn't He? He's all powerful. What makes you think for one second that anybody would call upon the name of the Lord if everything is good and rolling around great? You know what would happen? We would go on our own way. Christian, don't ever forget this. Suffering is for a reason. Suffering is for a reason. Jesus Christ suffered for you and for me, that we might be saved, that we might be delivered from the curse of sin that causes the suffering. And one day we're going to stand in His presence. We're going to have a brand new body, like unto His glorious body. And all suffering will be put away. All tears will be wiped away. And we'll live for all eternity. And suffering will be a notion that we don't know anything about anymore. Won't that be a wonderful day? There will never be a conscious thought about, I wonder what suffering we're going to face today in heaven. There won't be any. That'll be blotted out. No more tears. But until then, we live under the curse. So, Christian, are you willing to be canceled for the sake of the Lord, for the Son of God? There's a reward for that. There's a reward for that. Let's move on. And we've got just a few more minutes here. Number four, love your enemies. How many of you think this is easy, to love your enemies? Are you kidding me? Love your enemies. Luke 6:35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be what? Everybody say it. Great. Not little, not just a tiny bit, not small, but great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Let that soak in for just a moment. God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. How many of us get bent out of shape when we don't get a thank you card? We sent a gift in, and we didn't get a thank you card. I'll never send another gift again. I didn't get a thank you. Wait a minute. What did God just say? What does He say here? For He is kind unto the unthankful. How many times do you receive from the good hand of God and a thank you doesn't come out of your lips to Him? And the kindness still comes. You see, this is a great lesson for us. It's so easy as humans to slip into this thing. That's the last time I do anything for them. They didn't say thank you. Oh God, bow down before You. Who do you think you are? You're bigger than God Almighty, who does kindness to those who do not say thank you. And to the evil, which, by the way, all of us were before we came to Christ. Amen? Yeah. When it boils right down to it, folks, we're not very biblical. We're not very spiritual. We like to think we are, but whenever somebody crosses us or somebody doesn't give us thanks that we think we are due, and immediately we turn against them and say, I'll never do that for them again. You are showing that you don't know what grace is all about. You don't know your God very well. Because our Lord says, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Why would you hope for a thank you Well, if I give that to them, and I'll get a nice thank you note, and I can stick it on my bulletin board or on my refrigerator. Look at that. I got to thank you because I did this. The Lord says, hoping for nothing again. How's that for an attitude, Christian? How does that register on our grace meter of how God works? That's our Lord. This is an indication of how our Lord works and how we're supposed to operate here in this world. Think about this, and I'll close. Luke 23:34, one of the most powerful verses of Scripture in the Gospels. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus asking the Father to forgive the ones who were killing him. I wonder how many Christians utter those words. Some of the martyrs we have recorded from Fox's Book of Martyrs, some of them uttered similar words. Lord, they don't know what they're doing. Receive my soul. It's just an amazing thing. Christ showed grace of the Father by loving His enemies and gave us an opportunity to show His grace and gain eternal rewards by doing so. God, in His mercy, rewards those that follow His lead. That's the picture. You follow the Lord's lead, and He'll reward you. Even though we're not to seek after rewards or seek after something in return from those that we do good to, God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to reward you for following after me. Yes. Did that include Judas? What did our Lord seek to do the entire time of His ministry? He wanted Judas, bring him to Him. He included him in every part of His ministry for those 3 years. And Judas walked away. Jesus never walked away from Judas. Judas walked away from the Lord Jesus. He walked away from grace. Does any sinner know what he's doing? I don't know. We're so rooted in sin. Sometimes we know what we're doing. Most times we just do what we're doing. We don't think about it. There's very little thought that's involved with it. I don't think Judas had any idea that Scripture had been written about him in the Psalms. I don't think he had any idea about that, that he would be the one that would sell out the Lord. I think Judas was so full of himself that he couldn't see Jesus. And that's what the problem is with us. We're so full of ourselves that we cannot see the Lord Jesus. And by the way, when you can't see the Lord Jesus, you can't see grace. Because grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Judas went to hell because he chose to go there, not because Jesus made him go there. And that's an important thought. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 Gracious. Gracious. And He calls us to be the same way. And that's where we oftentimes fail. And there won't be a reward, will there, if we fail in this regard. Our Lord said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Judas chose to walk away from all the blessings, all the truth, all the goodness, all the grace. He walked away. And by the way, any person that goes to hell goes there by their own choosing. That's something that we need to remember. We chose in Adam to sin against God. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You for Your wonderful grace. And Lord, there are so many of these blessings that are found in Your Word. Help us, dear Lord, to seek to follow Your Word in every aspect. So many times we fail because we're so self-centered, we're so self-focused, we're so self-absorbed that we don't let Your Word find its full rooting in our hearts and lives. Father, we thank You for Your grace this morning. We are totally undeserving of receiving it. And we would ask that we might demonstrate that grace to others and not be full of hatred and full of seeking things for ourselves rather than seeking your glory and your praise. Help us, dear Father, to be changed by your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.